A reading from the prophet Jeremiah. The days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their fathers, the day I took them by the hand to lead them forth from the land of Egypt. For they broke my covenant, and I had to show myself their master, says the Lord. But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will place my law within them and write it upon their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer will they have need to teach their friends and relatives how to know the Lord. All, from least to greatest, shall know me, says the Lord. For I will forgive their evil doing and remember their sin no more. The word of the Lord. Many scholars say that this scripture passage that we have just read is the high point of the Old Testament. This is the final covenant that God promises to make with humanity. And that promise is fulfilled at our Lord's Paschal Mystery, at the Last Supper in word, and on Calvary in deed. This new covenant will not be based on external things like rituals, laws, sacrificial animals, feasts, or even the Ark of the Covenant and the temple. Although the new covenant may make use of many exterior signs and symbols and laws, it is primarily established upon an interior relationship with God. A person can no longer blame his misconduct upon inherited traditions or current social tendencies. Instead, under the new covenant, he would have to accept personal responsibility for his own misdeeds. Probably the most significant contribution which Jeremiah made to religious thought was in this insistence upon a one-to-one relationship in the Spirit. The first part of Jeremiah's prophecy describes the Old Covenant, broken by people's sins, and it had three characteristics. It came from tradition. It was the covenant made with their fathers. It was a sign of divine election or being chosen, and this is seen in a phrase that only Jeremiah uses, which is, I took them by the hand. And then third, it showed God's authority. He had to become their master. Now, the second part of the scripture passage speaks strongly of the new covenant that will endure forever, and it also has three features. One, it's new. God has never spoken in this way before. But it is also new because it is the final one, the definitive one, and it will never be out of date. Second, it is something interior. It's etched in the heart of the people and each individual. Its content has not changed. It's still the law of God, but people will know it in a different way. The previous covenant was written in tablets of stone. But this is on the human heart and soul. It's part of our very being. And it is heartfelt. It's based on a loving relationship between God and His people by a bond of fidelity and love. As I said, this new covenant is not written on stones or wood or even paper or papyrus. It is written upon our hearts through the pouring of the baptismal waters and the anointing with the fire of the Holy Spirit. But it is also written upon the heart of God. It's a heart-to-heart covenant. Yesterday, the Word of God from Jeremiah told us that God has loved us with an everlasting love. And today, the Word describes how that love will mold and transform us. This new covenant is signed and sealed in the blood of Christ, offered in the sacrifice of His life on Calvary. The ultimate gift of God's love for us is the pierced heart of Jesus, where the last drop of His life's blood is given for us. We can renew our part of the covenant every time we participate in that eternal sacrifice offered at Holy Mass. The other day I saw an advertisement for a retreat with the Christian Meditation Movement. Some of you may have also seen it. The title for this year's seminar is The Shape of God's Affection. I was so struck by that title. How beautiful and meaningful in reflecting upon the new covenant of God's affection in our hearts. What is the shape of God's affection for you today and for me? You know, it takes different shapes at different times. For a while, it may take the shape of a dear friend or lover, of a community or our ministry. But what if it takes the shape of loneliness, disappointment, the shape of seeing one's dreams and life's work crumble? In his homily at the closing Mass for the Year of Priests, Pope Benedict XVI made these remarks. Quote, "It is fine and consoling to know that there is someone who loves me and looks after me, but it is far more important that there is a God who knows me, loves me, and is concerned with me. God knows me. God is concerned about me. This thought should make us truly joyful. Let us allow it to penetrate to the depths of our being." End of quote. So what is the shape of God's love, affection, and concern when we feel alone, abandoned, discouraged, a failure, full of faults? Well, I'd like to close with a few suggestions. Sit quietly. Be with God. Experience the full extent of your loss. Don't be afraid of it. Embrace it. Then give it to God. And let Him console you through the Holy Spirit. Only He can really do it. Surrender once again to God and His loving, permissive will. Accept that the ultimate goal of existence is nothing that can be experienced by the senses in this world. Our sole purpose of existence is union with God in order to know and love Him and to be known and loved by Him. And ask Him to let you experience here and now His loving presence.